Welcome to the Flatlands Field and Foul Podcast with your hosts, Dwayne Dirksen and Tanner Friesen. Stay tuned for all kinds of hunting talk, outdoors talk, various other topics. You're sure to have a good time. You're in good hands.
Nature is my manifestation of God. I go to nature every day for inspiration in the day's work. I follow in building the principles which nature has used for its domain. Frank Lloyd Wright.
All right. How about that?
He was a builder.
A builder?
An architect in the late 1800s, early 1900s. An American.
America.
America.
What episode is this?
Sixth,
I think.
Lucky number six.
Passing of the guard, hey?
Passing of the guard.
I suppose you see that all over the place these days, hey?
You know where you don't see it these days?
In NASCAR.
In NASCAR.
It seems as though if you're 30 or older, if you're, 32 to 42, you're going to be winning three races in a row this year, it seems.
It certainly looks like that.
First the 4 car, Kevin Harvick, and now the 18 car, the Candyman, Kyle Busch. How about that?
I did. He was my favorite going into Richmond? Was that our last episode? Was that last week?
We didn't talk about Richmond. We talked about before that. That was Bristol.
Bristol. Right? Yeah. We did talk about Bristol. We didn't talk about Richmond.
We missed that week.
We did miss that week. Life got busy.
Yeah.
Life got busy. We ain't getting paid for this.
Mm-mm.
Not yet, anyway.
No.
Shout out
to Wiley X sunglasses.
Shout out to Wiley X. Great pair of shades. Best I've ever owned.
Best I've ever owned. I'll buy another pair. And
gladly.
Yeah.
I need to buy some new lenses for mine too.
Yeah.
Mine are a little scratched. The problem is they're so comfy to wear. Like you just
wear them all the time.
Yeah. I'm going to work. Throw them on. Oh, I'm going to go sit in the tractor. Throw them on. Oh, I'm going to go sit on a patio. Throw them on.
And they look good in all situations.
They do. They go with almost anything.
No. They go with anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Or you could just buy a couple different pairs. You could wear them for different occasions.
That is true. If they had a nice square frame,
They do. They do.
Do they? I haven't looked.
Son.
I haven't looked. I don't have time to look these days.
And, what else? Oh, yeah. They're all ANSI Z 80. What is it? What's that rating on there again?
I don't know. 85, 83?
Oh, ANSI Z87 2+.
Ain't no Z71.
Yeah, but this is a safety rating, so commonly used in military forces.
Hey, I looked the part. Wouch! So yeah, Rowdy Busch, three-peat. Think he can do
four? He's done that once before.
Yes, he has.
I think he can do four. If there's a driver in that field that can do four, he's definitely one of them. To say the least, I'd say.
He's going to have a tough, he's going to have his hands full at Talladega though.
Well, yeah, but.
I mean, everybody knows when he gets to plate racing, it's drafting.
Mm-hmm.
It's falling in line, being patient, avoiding the big one. And, who can push to the front?
And if your name has the word junior in it, that helps too.
Yeah, it does.
AKA Stenhouse Jr., the 17 car, the Fastenal, fifth third bank. Yikes.
That's fifth third. What does he say in that quote on Radioactive? That's banking a fifth third better. That's what it is. I don't understand that. I don't get the fifth third thing.
That's just the bank name.
I know, but who greenlit that idea? Who was sitting in a meeting and said, you know what would be a good name for a bank? Fifth third. Because that's two thirds too many. Last time I checked, there's only three thirds in one hole. But what do I know?
What do you know?
Not very much, apparently. Stenhouse, yeah, he won last year's spring race.
Yeah, and Brad Keselowski.
Keseloser.
I'll let you say that.
Yeah. No, you know what? He's gotten a lot better than he used to be. He used to be a reckless something. But he's really toned it down and... I like that he's pretty grateful after all the races. He doesn't get over the top. He thanks his team.
Yeah.
It's not just about him no more.
And he is a pretty talented wheelman.
He can drive.
I mean, he is in the Monster Energy Cup Series, so.
I'd say it takes something to get there, yeah. You got to be good at driving.
I know I'm not there. I know you're not there, so.
Not yet, old son.
Old son, he says. So who are you picking for Dega here?
Well.
Overall.
I mean, you can't discount the 88.
Alex Bowman, the showman.
Due to the fact that he's going to have Hendrick's car. Junior's car. Dale Jr., that is. However, interesting little tidbit of information. So, Bill Elliott.
He had eight second place finishes before he won his first race win.
Yeah. And Chase just got his eight.
Yeah.
And Chase has been building momentum all season long.
Mm-hmm. And from last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, Chase is, I think he's going to have a good showing. Cannot discount the 48. Two top fives, actually. No, he finished outside the top five. Finished sixth this last race. He was a lap down in Richmond. Started 17th. Went a lap down.
All right.
Came back to finish sixth. So, you know what, though? Overall, I'm... just because I'm pulling for him. The 9 car, DI9.
DI9, Chase Elliott. We're pulling for you, bud.
Still waiting for that interview.
Yep.
Not much else you can really say there. He's probably not going to hear that.
Oh, you never know. But also, that 12 car Ryan Blaney. That guy's always got a chance. He's always fishing for something.
Man, I was so bummed for him when he got caught up in Bristol there.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Buescher and who else?
Trevor Bayne.
And you know what? Trevor wanted to act like that was Chris Buescher's fault. It wasn't. That was all his fault. Chris Buescher stuck his nose in there, and Trevor Bayne came up. He thought he was clear. Yeah. I don't know if that's Trevor or if that's a spotter or whatever, but you know what? Whatever. I'm just a fan.
Just a fan.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chase.
Going with Chase.
Who do you got?
Well, I think I'm going to stick with the Candy Man.
Rowdy.
Kyle Busch, 18 car. But... Yeah, I don't know. Look out for Chase. He's going to be coming strong. That guy has some good... Didn't last year he have a pole win there? I can't remember. Anyways, he's had great success except missing that win on plate races. So, I mean, he's been number two for so long in so many races, it seems. I mean, even look out for Willie Byron there, too. Like, he's...
Stenhouse won the pole.
Okay.
In the first race.
And Junior won the second, right? I believe so.
I believe he did win the pole the second race.
And then he got caught up in something or smoked his car or something, I think.
Yeah, I think he had a right front go down in the fence.
Tough go.
That is racing. Win some.
Lose most.
That's what I says.
Except if you're Kyle Busch.
Yeah, right now you're winning them all.
Yeah, seems that way.
Well, I think that's just about enough for our NASCAR minute.
I think that's more like NASCAR 8 minutes.
Well, hey, whatever. I think NASCAR minute sounds a lot better than NASCAR 8 minutes. I would say that it's catchier.
I suppose.
So, I had something brought to my attention.
Go on.
By a coworker of mine.
All right.
I'm not going to count this as a listener request. Maybe we could count it as a listener request. The role of social media in hunting.
Okay.
So what is it? I mean, let's...
In the good sense or in the bad sense?
Well, both. Let's look at it both ways. Well, okay. I guess to add a little context to that question. Now, me and you are both looking to make it per se. In this...
Industry
of outdoor entertainment.
Something like that.
I think that's safe to say. I think my dream is to get to go hunting. I would love that.
That would be nice.
That's the dream, yeah. So, yeah, what's your opinions on the role of social media in hunting, good and bad?
Well, let's take a look at the bads first.
Sure.
Cons. First thing, it's easy for antis to shame it. And that's per se, that's in quotation marks, shame it, because proper hunting can't actually really be shamed, in my opinion. Ethical hunting is, there's no room for shame in it.
Not in the least.
Like, it's meant to be there. You're supposed to. But,
yeah, no, I agree with you. Wholeheartedly, I do. But...
oh, there's the but.
Okay. Here's the but. I understand how somebody can look at it and think it's wrong.
Sure, for sure.
Right? Yeah. I can... You know,
but,
I wouldn't...
But you can think it's wrong or not necessarily agree with it, but you don't have to go out and post things about how you hate it or shame it or whatever. There's certain things I disagree with. I don't go out and...
I don't hate people that hate hunting. I don't publicly shame people that hate hunting. That's your own, you know, discretion to not like what I choose to do with my spare time. Yeah. However, I think it's a God-given right. I mean, it's biblical if we're going to go that route.
And at the end of the day, you can't discount the fact that you're out there harvesting your own food.
And knowing where it's coming from.
Knowing where it's coming from. I mean, you're procuring your own food, and it's good, clean food for you. And
I find it hilarious that
you're becoming one with nature. And
well, exactly. Most of the people that really hate hunting, they're still meat eaters. They still buy their, they buy their meat.
Yeah.
What I think they can't comprehend is the fact that when I harvest an animal, I know whose hands have been on that animal. They've been mine.
And you kill it and take a picture of it.
Yeah.
Which
brings up another thing. Okay, before, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but the do's and don'ts of the trophy picture.
You need to show you're grateful. Something gave its life.
Exactly. Never put your weapon on the critter.
I'm guilty of that.
I learned
the hard way. What brought that to my attention was a post I saw by Jim Shirocki, and he himself admitted, he showed it. 20 odd years ago, he did the same thing. He rested his muzzleloader, whatever it was, on his game. And then he realized after that you shouldn't be doing that. And ever since then, I so happened to notice that, I think last summer or something.
Yeah.
Last fall or something. So I made sure, come when I shot my buck last fall, I made sure I didn't do that this time.
Yeah.
Because the year before, I definitely rested my muzzleloader on it.
Yeah. Which, you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, for me personally, it's all about your heart, right? I don't think laying in the moment, it's so hard to... Yeah. I mean, I did it with my caribou.
Yeah.
I laid the gun nicely across because, I mean, growing up, that's what I saw hunting, right? No, but I understand the respect thing, right? You don't want to draw attention. I'm not trying to draw attention to my weapon.
Yeah.
I'm trying to draw attention to the critter that just gave its life for the betterment of my own.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's all up to your own interpretation on that.
Oh, for sure.
And if you want to rest your weapon and take a picture of it, okay, just don't point at yourself.
Yeah.
Or at your buddy.
Yikes.
Bad things happen.
Yeah, accidents do happen
in
the bush. We talked about that last week with her.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago.
That was 2 weeks, yeah.
That's right. Something like that.
Time
flies.
Time is going, and it only goes by in waves of strangers. Along the way, sometimes strangers make your friends.
Oh, isn't that a fact?
That's Cody Jenks for you.
That is.
Yeah, so anyway, back to the role of social media.
Bit of a dog trail there, rabbit trail.
Rabbit trail. Yeah, I did want to get into the do's and don'ts before I got too far ahead because I would have forgot it.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously the bads are pretty glaring looking at it, right? I mean, and look at my Instagram feed and it is...
Booner.
Pretty girl, booner.
All right. Speaking the truth.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. Mom told me not to do that.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's a good play. Like, there's plenty of pros, but I mean, there's always, I suppose you could call a con, excuse me, being the fact that you can post something as good quality as you can, and somebody's going to go on there and potentially bash you for it, right? I guess that can be considered a con.
Yeah. And I mean, you're never going to please everybody, right?
Well,
never.
No, I don't think you should be shooting to please everybody in the first place, right?
No, so. Never. You shouldn't waste your time with the people that, you should associate with people that are like-minded in what you enjoy.
And what you think.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. So for me, I try to associate with people that enjoy hunting and enjoy killing critters and watching the odd UFC fight and watching doing hockey.
Outdoor things. And
exactly, right?
Sharing interests.
Exactly. That's how you build good friendships. I mean, look at us. We used to hate each other.
We were hate was
a strong, yeah, it was a strong dislike. I would say that I didn't hate you at a cellular level, but we weren't as good of buddies as we are today.
We weren't fixing on
shaking hands either.
Or inflicting too much harm upon each other.
Well,
too much?
Well, there was a few nights I figured, you know, I'd take a round of that old boy.
Well, I wasn't thinking that, so I mean, that was a one-sided deal there.
But I was also in a bit of a different situation.
Yeah, you were. We'll move on from that.
That's in the past.
What about, I don't know, do we have any more cons right now?
Well, I mean, and for me, obviously, yeah, getting bashed. I mean, if you look at Cameron Haynes, he gets bashed
all the time.
Hate mail left, right, and center.
Rogan gets bashed all the time, but Rogan is a great pro for stuff like that.
He's a great ambassador. Oh, and so is Camel. The way he deals with his guys, like the people that message him, he's like, you know, hey, thanks for taking the time to message me. Sorry that you don't like what I do, but it's not going to change, right?
Exactly.
But for me, yeah, I think the cons are, with social media being so big, right? And whether it's, you know, for your own personal account of just sharing, you know, the adventure you had to take a critter or even don't take a critter, right? I mean,
plenty of that out there.
That's why they call it hunting, not killing. I mean, you can, yeah, the risk is you're going to get bashed for it and somebody's not going to like what you have to say or what you're doing. But I mean, at the end of the day, if in your heart you're okay with it, I mean, all the power to you.
Oh, for sure.
Right? I mean, I believe wholeheartedly that is my God-given right to hunt as much as I can.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a pro for me. Another pro that just kind of came to mind was you really find who to associate with.
Yeah.
Right? You'll find people in your area that are
like-minded.
I mean, I can think of Spencer Breisky, Marcel.
Yeah.
BT.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known BT. Well, I mean, there's a chance we'd have ran into each other on the motocross circuit. But, you know, through you, I get to know BT a little more.
Yeah.
Well, BT91.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
Yeah.
We got to get him on here yet.
Eventually.
One of these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think it's a delicate balance when it comes to, you know, the right picture or the right caption for it or
I think
or
you
whatever.
You should be shooting for the best quality photo you can possibly get.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And, I mean, it's one way that, like, it's just another way that, not just another way, but it is another way that you can remember what you killed, right? Like, you can put your antlers on the wall. You can put your meat in the freezer. You can also take a picture. You should take a picture.
Exactly.
Another way to keep a memory. Like,
exactly.
Then you're going to remember certain things, perhaps, out of a picture that maybe you won't remember looking at the mount.
Well, exactly. I mean, I look back at my picture from this year that I took just of the deer. It wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, MacGyver to make it look like a monster deer or nothing like that. It was just a picture of the downed animal. And I can go back. I know I remember the exact smell, exactly mm-hmm. where I was, you know, the moment of excitement when I thought all hope was lost and then looked to my right and there he was down.
Oh, you know? I remember that. I remember getting that phone call.
Yeah, I was pretty
sure.
That
is something we're going to lean into a little bit, kind of, sort of, yet.
All right, I'm game.
Not yet, though.
Eventually?
Eventually.
All right.
That kind of leans into outdoor skills, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, Sure.
And dependency, but we're not there yet.
Not quite there yet. We'll get there.
But yeah, so yeah, there's pros and cons, but I'm gonna keep
hammering.
Keep hammering. I'm gonna work harder because nobody actually cares.
Exactly. I had that quote come to mind 4 or 5 times today.
Nobody cares. Work harder. Exactly. Right there. That's my lock screen on my phone these days.
I seen that. You posted that on your story. Yeah. But yeah, I think social media. Now let's flip this a little bit and go from a personal to a. I hate saying the word business. It's not right.
It's not a business.
We're not a business. This isn't a business. But for somebody that's going to try and make it in this outdoor entertainment business, because you know what? There's
industry.
Industry. Social media is your saving grace.
These days it is, yeah.
It is. I mean, back in the day, I think you had to guide.
You had to be a writer.
You had to be a writer.
You had to be a writer.
You had to. There were so many things you had to do.
Yeah.
Right? And it was all physical stuff. Now, anybody can get a YouTube page. Anybody can start a podcast. Anybody can start posting stuff from a Instagram account, right?
Yeah.
But for you, in your mind, what separates the Jim Shockeys and the Steven Rinnells and the Remy Warrens from the Tall Oak Pursuit side of things, anyway?
Well, I think that Shockey's on a different level than all of them, really. First of all, he's got such a reputable outfitting service.
Yeah.
And his Rogue River territory up in Yukon. But, like, that guy has been running around for such a long time and started out, you know, hunting those big Sasquatches and all that jazz. But
bred a nice looking family, too.
That he did, yeah.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah. Man. What was the question again?
Question is, looking at it from...
What separates them
what separates... And again, Shockey was a bad one because he's in a league of his
own. He's like...
A guy like Remy Warren, Steve Rinella, Giannis Poutelis.
Giannis Poutelis.
I get a kick out every time I hear that.
Mark Kenyon.
Wired to hunt. Great guy.
Funny story about Mark Kenyon, the guy, he's working at Google, and then he quits and he starts doing his Wired to Hunt thing all of a sudden. No income. He was
working at Google.
Yeah, he was working at Google.
No. He was working for Wired Magazine.
No, he was working at Google.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm almost certain he was working for Wired Magazine. That's where he got the name from.
No, it was Google.
Anyways.
So, well, I mean, I think it just takes experiences, really, to, I don't know, not maybe that's not the complete package, but it's just going to take time.
Yeah, and I get that. Okay, so now, let me reword my question a little bit here. Time aside, let's leave
time. Here we go. In 2013, Kenyon decided to roll the dice and quit Google.
Okay.
And go full-time on Wired to Hunt. So basically, he was started up Wired to Hunt, which is a website. Whitetail-focused website.
I know he was working for Wired Magazine.
Okay.
And that's part of where he got the name. He says that in the Meat Eater podcast with his first one.
Okay.
I can't remember the name now. Save my life. anyways, back to my question. What I'm getting at is, as a guy that's trying to grow in this industry.
Yeah.
When you are getting ready to post a picture or post something on Facebook or, you know, shoot a YouTube video, what in your mind goes, okay, I want to do what Steven Rinella does, right? If that's the goal, if that's the end game goal, you're playing the long game here. Is that a well-written quote? Is that a... Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I think you want to start with quality over quantity.
I would agree.
You want to... First of all, if you're on a picture-based thing like Instagram, I think you want to be doing... First and foremost, you want your pictures to be well set up and very good quality. You don't want to be putting up some rinky-dink, blurry, fuzzy, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, I'm here.
Like, you want... top-notch quality, like
as good as your pocket will allow you to afford.
That's right.
I will say that.
So I think that's step one on that. And
there is something to be said about a well-written caption.
Not everything needs a big caption, though. That's for sure.
That is for dang sure.
Yeah.
But there are certain pictures where...
Certain pictures you want to have
you want to have something that's going to... The reader's going to grab at, right? And that guy.
In my experience, I found that the captions that grab the reader the most are paired with a nice picture, a well-taken picture, and your caption is just straight from the heart and exactly what you're feeling in that moment. That is what I found works the best.
Oh, like, for sure.
Not that disclaimer, I'm not pushing for likes or anything like that.
No, I hear you.
But what seems to garner the most of those is just really being yourself and just talking about exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
And not beating around the bush.
Yeah.
It seems as though honesty is key.
Oh, if people can see right through fakeness.
And I believe that that's key in more areas than just that. Than just posting things on the internet.
I would tend to agree. I mean, you know, I will say something. I mean, I spent, what was it, a month ago, I spent a few days in the hospital there.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically spent the entire time I was there writing.
Okay.
Just, you know, writing captions for Instagram, writing for the sake of writing. You know, whether that be something I can put on a blog one day or whatever. Just ideas, right, that came to my head. And stuff that was all from a part of my heart that when I think about hunting, it activates, right? Something in my brain fires off and goes, you want to be real? That's how you're going to get real.
Yeah.
From me is when you're talking about hunting or outdoors or whatever.
I think it helps to be well read as well.
I think so. I think there's a lot, there's a very fine line there. Cause I think if you're trying to use too many big words,
I'm not saying use big words, but.
No, I know.
Just, you know,
be well versed.
Be well and well read. I mean, that comes hand in hand. You want to expose yourself to as much potential knowledge as possible.
Yeah. That should be a sponge.
Proper grammar helps too. And, you know, good spelling.
Yeah.
Good spelling. English.
Do not be a redneck. No, you can be a redneck. You know what? You're going to find the niches, right? You're going to find that area you fit into, right? Yeah. And I mean,
but you want to at least have your caption, you know, so you can somebody can actually read it.
Yeah, exactly. Not
spelled wrong and use the wrong words.
I don't think anybody's going to look at you funny if you throw an ain't in there.
Like, no, that's not at all what I'm talking about.
I know. I know what you're saying. I think there's certain mannerisms that people will pick up on and associate to you and go, okay, that guy, you know, they imagine a voice, right? And anytime I read something, I imagine, like if I read something from Steven Rinella, I can hear his voice. If I read something from Janis Poudelis, I can hear his voice. If I read something from Jim Shockey, I can
hear his voice. Oh, I can hear Shockey's voice.
Yeah.
I can hear it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he's talking about Rogue River outfitting.
Yeah. And how he can fly for miles and never cross out of his property.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. They've done something well where they don't have to talk to be heard.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But anyways, to wrap, let's conclude that one because my brain's about to explode with ones on social media. I think it's a great thing. I think if you're going to get into this industry, you have to be prepared to a little bit of a baptism by fire because you will get some hate. And especially come hunting season.
Be ready to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yes, sir.
or learn to be comfortable.
Learn to be comfortable whatever. When being uncomfortable. Yeah. Remy Warren.
Is that what he said that?
Yeah, in his Under Armour Ridge Reaper.
I believe I read that in some kind of like a Navy SEAL book too. I've read quite a few of those.
Probably Rourke Denver, because he did mention it too.
Could be.
When him and Rinella did their bear hunt.
Okay, I haven't seen that one actually, but you hear something like that all over the place.
Yeah, but I just remember sticks out Remy Warren saying it.
So let me ask you a quick question.
Sure, let's hear.
If we're done wrapping that one up.
All right.
What does it take to go buy new gear for you? What is the final straw that's going to say, okay, I'm going to go buy something else now. I'm going to switch brands on this, or I'm going to do this or whatever.
Okay, so there's two trains of thought that I have on that.
We're at the station now.
Okay, so.
Grand Central.
Which road are we taking? We're gonna establish both.
No, we're not on roads. We're on rails here.
Tracks. Okay, so first and foremost, price point comes into it.
Okay.
Because I'm not loaded.
Nor am I.
So price point comes into it. You know.
Shout out Wiley X.
Yeah. Shout out Under Armour.
Cabela's.
Cabela's Canada. Yeah. So price point comes into it. You know. I think me and you both know well that there's times where money is bountiful and times where money is not.
I think we're more familiar with times where money is not bountiful. Yeah,
correct. But there's times where you're like, oh, you know what? I got a few extra dollars.
I got 100 extra bucks. I'm going to blow it on VLTs and burgers right now. Oh, no. I'm going to go buy hunting gear instead.
No, I got other gear to buy first. So that's the biggest thing, right? Yeah. But the final straw is I have to hit a point mentally where I'm like, okay, I have to stop being brand loyal. I have to actually shut my mind off of, and for me, it's Under Armour. Okay, I am a...
You are a bit of a fan.
If Under Armour decided to sponsor me, I would be on cloud
through the
nine.
Roof.
I own so much. I mean, I'm wearing 2 Under Armour shirts right now.
Funny story.
Here we are.
So both.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm not wearing my Under Armour cap, though. Shoot.
No, nope, I'm wearing my UDT one.
I'm not wearing, I don't have any UA socks on. And no. I got some
I got UA Gitch on.
Okay.
Yep. Those are my favorite Gitch, by the way. If you guys have not checked out Under Armour underwear, please. You know what, Dwayne? You can speak to this. I sold you on them.
Yeah, you did.
Great, great
underwear. Just make sure you get the right size.
Yes, that is
maybe key. Look for a size up.
Yeah.
In my experience.
Yeah. Mine,
If you're a gym rat and got big legs, go size up.
Yeah. Yes. Because, yeah.
Or if you're a not a gym rat, but you're a little bit bigger of a fella or a lady, maybe go size up.
Does Under Armour even make ladies' underwear? I don't know. Yeah, they do, actually. Yes, they do. I do know that.
Beats me, and I got a straight flush.
Anyway. Yeah, so I have to stop being brand loyal. Recently, I switched a different arrow, same brand, just different arrow. I did a little bit of research on what a lighter arrow would do for me.
Okay.
Lighter meaning less GPI or grains per inch,
mm-hmm.
if anybody's wondering. Basically, I wanted a little bit faster of a speed. Just less chance of a deer jumping the string, which happens in archery, right? But yeah, so there's one train of thought is, you know, when I'm looking for a new piece of gear, to remember to stop being brand loyal, whether that be Under Armour, Vortex, whatever, right? Just to get out of the mindset of if I want to be taken seriously, I need this.
Yeah.
And to look more at the price point. The other train of thought that I have is when something fails me enough times, I live by the shame me or burn me once, shame on you, burn me twice, shame on me. I try and live by that. So I had my last set of Cabela's Stalker Extremes went bad really quick. The arrows went bad really fast.
Okay.
And you know what? That could be part of me, you know, if they got left in the sun or whatever, right? I had fletchings go bad when they shouldn't have went bad.
After all, they're just a product.
They are just a product. So I hit the point where I was, you know what? I'm not going to drive all the way to the city, which is 45 minutes from here, an hour to get to Cabela's, to buy arrows that are... I'm going to save myself $20, which I'm going to use in fuel anyway, when I can go, what?
5 miles.
5 miles away the crow flies to...
D&G Family Archery Range.
Go visit my old pal Darren.
Yeah.
And you know what? I paid a little more for my arrows, but I feel like I got a good product.
And you got good service.
And I got extremely good service.
Yeah.
And for me, that's... I mean, it's night and day if you can get good service anywhere, nowadays. Right? Yeah. Everybody's trying to push a product.
Yeah.
Darren doesn't do that. Darren wants you to be comfortable in the gear you're shooting. So that's where I sit on new gear. 90% of the time, it's fail me once, shame on you. Fail me twice, shame on me. Because I just stick with what I've, you know, the old faithful.
Yeah.
But things change, and you know, if you don't expand your horizons, then you're stuck in a rut. And I don't like being stuck in a rut.
Ain't that the truth? I am guilty of brand loyalty as well. Especially with my decoys, my waterfowl decoys. But I think that's something that you can kind of stick with a little bit more, because if they're, I don't know, I mean, the price points are okay. I mean, no decoy is exactly cheap.
No.
So, and they last a long time. So, I mean, I think, I don't know. I love my hardcores, and I'm going to continue to seek out my hardcores.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for good quality gear, right? Yeah. I mean, you know,
good quality gear at a good price point. I mean, that's...
Exactly. That's huge. And that's not something you just up and out of the blue change.
No.
Right? There's certain things... You know what? I am so confident in my diamond bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It will be very tough for me to buy my next bowl that's not a diamond.
APA, say what?
APA... Shout out to APA. If you guys want to send out a few demo products, I'd be happy to review them. Happy. You can find me...
Tall Oak Pursuit.
Tall Oak Pursuit 18 on Instagram and Tall Oak Pursuit on Facebook. You can find yourself at...
Flatlands Fuel and Fowl.
On both.
Isn't that the truth?
That is the truth. And Mama told me not to lie.
She told me that too. But my mama, not yours.
Okay, good. I was going to say, if my mom was telling you that, there may be an issue here. We need to maybe...
Well, I mean, hey, that's good advice, though.
It is. I mean, she's not wrong.
But if I'm going to be looking for new gear, we'll go back to the actual question.
Yeah, we're rabbit trailing here.
I'm going to probably be waiting for mine to be tattered, or there's going to be a wicked sale on.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, I'm not quite as big of an Under Armour enthusiast. Like, I am, like, I'm like a... I'm keeping it 90, like Dale Brisby says, but you're keeping it like $140.
Oh, yeah. I'm running hard with the Under Armour. Yeah. I mean, all my... If I'm going to go out in something that's not work clothes, I mean, it's almost all Under Armour.
Well, it's kind of like me, too. But you got more hunting gear that's UA than I do. Like with your Ridge Reaper and all
that. Well, I just have my two... Well, I got my Ridge Reaper set. I got a Ridge Reaper sweater. And then my boots.
If you catch me at the gym, there's probably about a 90% chance I'll be wearing UA something.
Oh, yeah. You know what, and let's not sit here and knock UA, though, either. I mean, they make a great product.
They do.
I mean, my golf shirts are UA. My normal shirts are UA. I love their product because it fits me well.
Feels good.
It great feeling stuff. Looks it's a little pricier. Exactly. It's a good looking...
Look good, feel good.
Play good.
Play good.
That's perform. The hashtag.
Perform well.
Look good. Feel all right, perform half decent.
Oh, that's probably like Mission or something.
Mission.
Brian McCabe.
Wow. I have, yeah.
Those are the days.
Old M3s.
Hockey, folks, hockey.
Brian McCabe had the gnarliest set of frosted tips on his head. Backstreet's back, all right.
Under that Mission lid.
Yeah.
Oof.
He was a Hulk. He was a good defenseman.
That guy was, and he went downhill all of a sudden. But hey,
after he had like two good years, and then they.
Oh, he had a few good years actually. He the one good year he
was a Norris finalist, was he not?
I think so. And that guy could hit too. He had a heck of a shot. The one year he played 73 games. He had 68 points. He scored 19 goals from the blue line.
Yeah,
that guy had a rocket. That guy was a heck of a defenseman.
That's when the power play could. You actually fed it to the point.
Yeah.
And the power play would... Or
your and you actually had D-man on your point.
Yeah.
Not OV and line A and everything. I mean, that's not...
It works, but...
That's not all bad, but...
No, I know what you're saying. That's old-timey. Old-timey puck.
But you had Coverley and McCabe on the...
Yeah.
On the point there, so...
Yeah. That was almost as good as Chelios and Lidstrom on the back end.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Those guys could play... Man. I guess Chelios wasn't on the back end. He was a winger.
Chelios was on the back end.
No, he's a winger.
No, he is not a winger.
I swore he was a winger. Man, I am.
I think he played both, actually.
He might have. I know in the AHL he played winger.
Well, I mean, some D-men do jump up.
Which is, yeah, that happens all the time.
Right here, defenseman.
No, oh. Born in 62.
He's an old goat.
He's an old goat.
That guy played how many years? Well, yeah, he played mostly D, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know. You know what that reminds me? He did step up and play forward sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know he did.
1,600 games, 948 points.
That's right. He played in Atlanta.
For seven games.
Right. For the Jets. Before they became the Jets. No, he was down in the minors before that. But, okay.
Character guy, though.
Character guy.
I mean, he
played. Matt Hendricks-esque.
Yeah.
He just got nominated for an award.
Masterton?
I believe it's Masterton, yes.
Dedication.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, so I have a question for you with recent scenarios popping up in my mind. So
Scenarios.
Same thing. All right. So let's say a fellow was to meet a little lady.
Procure a little bit of relationship stuff.
Yep, an emotional bond with the female gender.
Go on.
What's your thoughts with taking her into the woods? And specifically hunting with her.
Well, if she doesn't want to go, don't take her.
No, that's not what I'm saying. No. If you got a little lady that wants to head out in the woods and blow out yourself a bear, or a deer, or a duck, or whatever it is, do you take her?
Yeah.
All right.
I think so.
All right.
I think that, but first of all, if you want to make sure she knows what she's doing with whatever kind of weapon she's handling.
Yeah.
You want to make sure if you're handling a gun, you want to make sure she knows, like, the axe improves, you know? Assume it's lowered. Control the muzzle direction. Make sure your trigger finger's clear. And see if it's safe. You got to prove it. You got to point in a safe direction. You got to remove all cartridges when you get it. You got to observe the feeding path. Verify the chamber.
Yeah.
Examine the bore.
Exactly. Slow is smooth.
And smooth is fast.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I think in my mind, that's step one. You want to make sure that she's comfortable and familiar. Make sure she shot whatever she's shooting.
Yep.
Like that's...
Whether that be...
Shotgun, rifle, bow.
Really anything.
Yeah.
Pellet gun. It don't matter.
Yeah. So I think that's step one. But if the girl, or if whoever earnestly wants to go out...
Now, do you sit her in the same stand as you?
The first time, yes.
See, and I don't agree.
The first time?
I don't agree.
Go on.
I don't. I think...
I have no experience in this field, so...
I have a little bit of experience, right. And if you would like a left or right eardrum by the end of the day, it's not worth sitting in the same pre-stand, because a fellow like you and me, guys like you and me, we've been hunting for a very long time. We know what it takes to sit in a tree stand all day. You know?
Yeah.
That means not drinking a lot of fluids. That means every 5 minutes you're not snacking.
Ain't that the truth?
That means you're not, you know, you hear a squirrel snap a twig and, oh, I'm guilty of this. I'm like, oh, what is that?
Well, you have to check.
Yeah. And, you know, you got your release clipped on and... You know, that twig sounds like a...
You got that bolt down.
Oh, yeah. Click. Safety's almost off. It's on your thumb.
Well, at least your finger's on the trigger.
Yeah. But, no, you know what?
So you'd put her in a different stand.
I'd put her in a different stand, yeah. Give her, you know what? Whether it be, if you have cell service, you know, just say, hey.
I'd give her a radio or something.
Give her a radio. If you don't, gladly you can communicate. But I think for the most part, you let her... Sit there.
For all those haters on using radios while you're hunting, I think that's a scenario where it's a good idea to have them. Especially if she's not familiar with sitting in the stand, you know, like, safety first here. And, you know, you gotta tend to your lady, right?
Yeah.
You gotta be a gentleman.
I would agree. But I would take her hunting, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But the radio in tree stand perks an interesting question. The technology that the hunting world... experience.
Seems we're a little reliant on technology these days, hey?
Extremely. Extremely.
I mean...
And I mean, I guess
that... Not all of it's bad.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, shoot, I just downloaded an app the other day that every 5 hours, or every 6 hours, it sends my emergency contacts a GPS location. So if something were to happen where I press SOS, you know, I fall, break a leg, break my back, get electrocuted, whatever the case may be.
Go looking in some barrel.
In some barrel.
Go zippity zap.
And
he Eduardo Garcia-esque.
Yes, great chef.
Yeah, so they say. Great chef.
But then somebody at least knows where I am.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's like almost like having a spot on you.
Exactly. And just not paying the fee. Because...
What's that app called?
That app is called Huntin' Buddy. Yeah, Huntin' Buddy. You can find it on the App Store. Yeah, you can find it on the App Store for Android and iPhone. HUNTNBUDDY. It's a free download for the time being. Jump on it. It's got all sorts of things. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. You can map your hunt. It turns your phone into GPS. You don't need cell service to use the app. It'll tell you your weather.
That one right there?
That would be it.
Huntin' Buddy.
Yes, sir. It gives you the moon phases.
Okay.
Alarms and reminders, you know. You can set a boundary that you don't want to walk out of. Let's say you're hunting a section of public or private land, you can't leave that section. You can border it, and it'll give you a notification when you're within 15 feet of that border.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a safety notification system. They also have hunting tips.
How about that?
So
I'm downloading it right now.
Well worth it. I have not had the chance to use it because I just downloaded it about 2 months ago, and I haven't really been hunting. Because nothing's in season.
I bought a GPS this year.
As did I.
As did you.
Yep.
And I think that's a good thing to have, especially... Like, I guess there might be a way to overuse your GPS, but if you're using it to, you know, get out of the bush back to the truck or to mark blood trails or something like that, or whatever, mark your stands and stuff like that, I think that's fine.
Oh, for sure. It's better than running a map and not getting it right.
Yeah. And especially on the go, you're marking a blood trail. Well, you're supposed to put forth every effort you can to retrieve that animal. So you should at least, in my opinion, you should be using everything to your advantage in that
scenario. See, I say scenario. I also say everything else wrong. I say oil. I don't know why oil is wrong. Oil.
Say it again.
Oil.
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 You want to do an oil change?
An oil change. Whatever. I say accurate.
I don't know what an oil change is.
You got motor oil.
What kind of oil sun are you changing?
Oh, good grief. No, I would agree with using the GPS there, though. It's smart.
Yeah.
You know, there's something to be said for using... Okay, let's go back to the social media thing for a minute here. If you want to... Like, it's just what we have to our... advantage, right? We're using what we have. Now, don't get me wrong. I bought a GPS for the fact of having a GPS when I hunt up north or anywhere else that I have a GPS with batteries that I can bring with me and clip it onto my backpack. And I know that that thing has service, and I use that in quotations because it's got satellite.
GPS.
It's got GPS throughout the world. My phone will not.
It thinks it does, but it actually probably doesn't.
My phone only has a certain amount of battery that you can't charge in the bush. You can't just, oh, hey, where do I have power? You don't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you can bring a battery pack and charge it one more time and whatever. I download the app for a safety, you know, as a safety.
Yeah, let's be honest, though. Like,
I bring my phone with me when I'm hunting because I want to take pictures. I want to, you know, use it for something other than a phone. But... I think, and maybe not so much guys like me and you, because I think we still embrace the old school hunting, right? Of what it means to us. And
traditional methods kind of thing.
Yeah.
Per se.
Yeah.
Traditional mentality, perhaps, more.
I mean, I'm not going to shy away from using a rangefinder.
Well, that's one way to kill something ethically, right?
Exactly. That being said, I mean, I know guys that when they go in the bush and their GPS goes down, they're lost. they are lost. They can't tell you which way is north, south, east, or west.
That's one danger of having too much technology on you.
That's reliant on it, right? Yeah. And it I mean, it comes down to a survival situation. These guys are hooped.
Yeah.
Because they expect that if they go in the bush and something goes wrong, they can call somebody. Say, hey, listen, this is where I am. Come find
me. Or, hey, I just shot this animal. Help me come track it.
Yeah, exactly. Which, we don't always have that option. We have found out last year. Which, you know what? It was a good thing for me to go through.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that a different time here. Maybe later. We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
But, I think it's extremely hard to shy away from using it, the technology, once you have your hands on it. I mean, heck, I hunted for 10 years without a GPS and did well.
Yeah.
But now I have it.
Might as well use it.
Might as well use it. It was an investment because I can use that for ice fishing. I can use that for regular fishing. I can use that for hunting. I can use that when I'm out camping. If I want to go drive out to some place in the middle of
Timbuktu,
BFE, and camp, I have a GPS that can at least get me to my truck or get me somewhere.
Yeah. Right?
I can mark my campsite if I go out, whatever. So I think the key is just to not be reliant on it.
It's good to have it as a, in quotation marks, fail-safe.
A safety net.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would agree. But that brings up another thought, though, that just, I mean, obviously runs through my mind, is just how the generations have hunted. And it's changed, even going from, you know, my old man and your family to me and you, right? I mean, and again, I think
they weren't bringing a cell phone in the stand. They weren't playing silly little games, flipping through pictures, scrolling through booner, Instagram, booner. They weren't watching YouTube videos.
No.
They weren't texting their friends saying, hey, pal, you got, you shooting your geese this morning? You catch your deer this morning?
Yeah, exactly. You weren't sitting there, oh, buddy's got a booner.
Oh, he's got picks on his cam today. Boy, howdy, look at that. They weren't doing that 10 years ago. Well, maybe 10 years ago, but 20 years ago, they weren't
really
doing that.
Even 10 years ago, I mean, what are we, that's 2007. Eight.
That might have been, like, kind of the start of the boom. Yeah.
Well, when did the first iPhone come out? It got to be right around then.
Well, you were still sending pictures before that.
I sure wasn't. I didn't have a phone in 2007.
Well, me either.
My old man, in 2007 had a Samsung flip phone. That was indestructible.
That you could still send a picture if it had a camera on there.
Pay the freaking dollar to send that picture. That was back before they had unlimited picture messaging, old son. That feels like it was a Fortnite.
I'm sure that some people had plans or they were wealthy enough to be able
don't
to afford that $1.
I'm sure they did, but
you know, they still made bread back then too, so.
Yeah, that is true. But I think that as the generations have gone along, we've gotten lax in almost everything. Let's take hunting out of the equation and go to work. How many kids actually hack a living in construction?
Yeah.
How many kids hack a living in farm? How many kids want to farm? You know, we just actually got a kid back today coming back from university. He's going to school to be a lawyer.
Okay.
He was so miserable today. Because he had to come back to work. Because his dad has worked construction all his life. Mm-hmm. That's all his dad knows. And is good at it. So he told his boy at 18, you're going to go out in summers that you're not going to school and you're going to work.
Be a man.
Be a man. You can be a man at night. You can be a man in the morning. And he hates it. He hates the physical labor. All he has to do is carry a little bit of drywall to the garbage bin and back. That's all he does all day. But he hates it. You know?
I suppose not, or physical labor might not be for everybody, right?
No, and it might not. But, I mean, I can't sit here and pretend that, you know, just because it's not for everybody doesn't mean that it's not being shied away from. So many people are shy away from physical labor or from construction or farming or, you know, hard work.
I don't think it's a bad idea if everybody had to, you know, spend a summer on the framing crew or concrete or something. I don't know.
Oh, I wish. That would smarten a lot of people up.
Yeah.
And don't pay them like, you know.
Just pay them like.
Just over minimum wage.
Like, yeah, or whatever.
The same amount they'd make at McDonald's, but they have to work in the construction industry. Because you know what? That's stuff you use everywhere.
Yeah.
How many
You can learn to appreciate something.
Exactly. Oh, I gotta take a measurement here. Well, you know, bust out
Siri, how do you measure this? Yeah. Or can you measure this? No.
How big is my foot? Right? And then they'll step it, right?
Yeah.
Where I can look at something and go, well, that's 14. That's a 14 foot right there. Good enough. Oh, 16 foot. Yeah, we got that too.
Yeah, it's about 11 and a half inches.
No, I can't go that specific.
I do that every day, so I just...
Yeah, cool. you're more in the fine measurement trade. Yeah. I'm not. I'm more, slap it up on the wall. Tapers will fix it.
Away she goes.
Yeah.
On to the next one.
On to the next wall.
Whoo! On to the next one.
I'm not wearing my hat, but... So the tech covered it. The changes in hunting throughout the generations.
Oh, we kind of covered outdoor skills too.
Yeah, we did.
If you get, you know, little Jimmy there, if he, you know, little nerdy Jimmy, if he's trusting his GPS to get him home and he gets stranded in the bush somehow, batteries die, he might not be so lucky these days.
He might be in a world of hurt, but I will say, if you can learn, you can go on the internet. I was going to say pick up a book. Wow.
Kids pick up books these days? Come
on. They go on the internet.
They use those Chromebooks these days.
Yeah, the internets.
Wait, and disclaimer, little side note here. Chromebooks are not actually books. They're like little computers.
I know. It
took me a long time to learn that. Because I'd never used one.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not the most technologically advanced individual there is out there. But there's certain things that I do know about. That being said, you can go on the internet and look up simple survival techniques to make it through a long period of time in the bush. Mm-hmm. Something as simple, you find shelter, you find water, you find food. In that order.
Yeah.
I guess water and shelter are interchangeable. You should probably find water sooner because you can only survive, 3 days without water?
I don't even know.
I think it's 3 days without
water. You'll start feeling miserable after a few hours without it.
Oh, I tell you what. I go 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day without drinking water, and I get home and I slam so much water.
Kidding me? Oh, I'm drinking water throughout the day nonstop.
I drink hot bean water all day. That's my problem.
Hot bean water?
Coffee.
Oh. Well, no water.
I drink hot bean water in the morning and rotten barley tea at night.
Ain't that the truth?
Yes, sir.
What's this last thing on the agenda here?
I don't know what it says.
The forgetfulness of our generation.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Our generation is.
I'm guilty of forgetfulness, but...
So am I. So am I. But you know what? Like I said last episode, when preparing, and I'll stay to the hunting side of things, when preparing for a hunt, I would rather...
Bring too much than bring too little?
Well, no, I'd rather have it, not need it, than need it, and not have it.
You don't need the kitchen sink, but...
No.
You do need a few things.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good pair of boots.
Good pair of boots. That's the foundation of a hunt.
Ain't that the truth?
And a good weapons platform that you know how to operate.
Yep.
I mean...
Shooting straight.
Yep.
Whatever it may be.
I mean, we did it last, Saturday?
Yeah.
Got everything tuned up.
Yeah, looking pretty decent.
I would say so. That was the best 20-yard grouping I've shot in a while.
Yeah, that was pretty deadly.
Broken arrow. Not just a knock.
Brand new, yeah.
Brand new, yeah. I think that was my third shot with that arrow. Which reminds me, I do have to mark these things yet. I haven't figured out which are my straightest ones. But they're within .002.
Bloodline.
Yep. Eastern archery, bloodline. Blazer veins.
Blazers, yeah.
You got blazer veins on yours?
Yep. Those stalker extremes got blazers.
I know my last Cabela's didn't.
Okay, you can get them in a few different variations.
I know my... Well, actually, sorry. I had a few that were Cabela stalkers. I don't know if they're a stalker extreme or whatever it is. But then I had the Easton STs that weren't blazer veins.
Okay.
Out of those, they didn't fly very well. They moved. They danced. But,
And we danced. Get Ranella to sing some dancing song.
Yeah.
Insert Ranella here.
Permissions!
Permissions. Hey, you have any shower thoughts, by the way?
I get stumped on these shower thoughts, and it was my idea.
Yeah, it was.
Concludal thoughts.
Final thoughts with Tommy Laren.
Shower thoughts. Oh. how funny Chael Sonnen is.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Great.
Love listening to his work.
Biggest arm in Western Oregon. Did you hear his gig on the how he's a gangster and what he's seen?
No.
Oh, you gotta listen to it. He's talking about how somebody littered a gum wrapper and how it scarred him. Oh, that's hilarious.
That guy knows how to trash talk.
He Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
Oh, I am a fan. I used to not like the guy, but I am a fan.
I like him because
he's honest. He doesn't care.
Like he says in one of his interviews, actually with Joe Rogan, I don't talk trash. I just say what I'm feeling.
Yeah. He doesn't like say it in a rude way, really. He's just kind of upfront and says it.
I mean, there's things that you're like, Chael, come on.
Yeah, but.
Like with the whole Tito Ortiz fight there when he was talking about Tito's ex-wife. Tito's never been married. But that's just Chael being Chael, right?
The Huntington Beach bad boy, Tito Ortiz.
Which is funny how he's calmed down with age. Like, he used to be the king of trash talk.
Yeah.
Any fights coming up that we need to take note of, Mr. UFC expert?
What do we got here? Well, there's some big fights the last couple of weeks, so there should be a lightweight championship coming up in the next, I don't know, probably August or so. There's a rematch of TJ Dillashaw against Cody Garbrandt. Big bull hunter. Dillashaw, big bull hunter, so look out for that guy. He's got some wicked footwork out there, boy howdy.
I like him a lot better than I love Love.
Yeah, me too. There's the Daniel Cormier, Stipe Miocic. Heavyweight championship.
That'll be a heck of a fight.
Light heavyweight champion versus the heavyweight champ.
What do you think?
But, just a little fun fact here, Daniel Cormier is undefeated at heavyweight as well, so.
Technically?
He is, actually. He's never lost at heavyweight, Daniel Cormier.
Okay, where does he fight John Jones at?
Light heavyweight.
Oh, okay. Well, which technically I think he's still, technically speaking, still undefeated.
No.
John Jones hasn't technically kept a belt there. He's won the fights, but I guess he hasn't kept the belt.
No, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I guess so.
The first fight, John did not pop on anything. He beat him in 5 rounds decision.
No, he popped.
No one on that one.
How many times have they fought?
Twice.
He has popped on both of them.
No, he hasn't.
Because after the last fight, Cormier said, Dana White sat down with Cormier.
The first fight, he did not pop.
He did.
No, he did not.
All right.
It was UFC 200. It was July of 2016 when Brock fought Mark Hunt. That card, that was the first time John popped.
Okay, which was the one that he beat Cormier at?
That was 190-something or 80-something. I guarantee you.
We'll find out.
The only thing that I can guarantee is there are no guarantees, but he beat him fair and square. 5 rounds. Dominated the fight. So, I don't remember exactly which pay-per-view it was on. I've watched it many times. That's also the first time John Jones ever got taken down, I believe. First time Cormier got taken down as well. Unless if Gustafson took down John Jones before that, I can't remember. But John Jones, one of the greatest pound-for-pound fighters ever.
He did not test. He did have something up after that fight, though.
His hit and run.
That's what it was.
But that doesn't affect the fact that he still beat him fair and square.
Yeah. You know what? He's a heck of a fighter. Don't get me wrong.
Wild man.
He's so big and long. And Cormier, I mean, I don't know. He's a great announcer. Don't get me wrong. But
He's a very skilled fighter, too. Olympic wrestler.
Yep. He looks like a wrestler, though.
Yeah, he just needs to eat the right food, maybe. He's a bit soft.
Yeah. Extra protection, I'd say.
I suppose.
Stipe, though. Heck of a fighter.
Perhaps the greatest heavyweight of all time. He's got the most consecutive title defenses at heavyweight, so that says something.
And he's funny, too.
He is funny. He's a part-time firefighter, actually, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Killashaw. That'll be a good rematch, actually. Do you think McGregor is ever going to fight again?
I don't really care. I have no idea.
Even though the whole thing that he just got arrested for was scripted?
You think so?
It was scripted.
By who? Himself?
No, Dana.
I don't think
so. I can confirm it. I can confirm!
That's for another time. I don't have any more thoughts, do you?
No, sir.
All right.
Niall. No.